Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Read with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Martin, sitting across busy lawyer Ao Kim Kit, who has identified 10 wonderful restaurants that have lasted more than 50 years in Singapore for her book, Delicious Heirlooms. It's a great book, and on one hand, a real eye-opener for many of us when it comes to the personal family stories. I'm sure maybe you've eaten at Muthu's Curry or Spring Court or Islamic restaurant, but you haven't really taken the time maybe or had the opportunity to get to know the people who've built up these great brands. The book is also terrific because it is a doorway to Singapore's history and a very unique perspective of the struggles of Singapore's early F&B founders. And embedded within each chapter is a recipe. Fatty Wang deep fried soon hock anyone. So time to welcome Ao Kim Kit. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you, Michelle. It was so nice to see you after so many years.
Yes, we must put up there up front. We know each other. We've known each other for some time.
Somewhere
to college together, but we haven't seen each other in 20 years.
I think so. It's been that long. Goodness, yeah. You're looking just as beautiful.
And you, for sure. And this is a wonderful book. And I wonder if I use the recipes in it, will I get, you know, fatty wings, deep fried soon hock?
I'll be very honest. I mean, really, the recipes in the book is just a guide. It's really to tempt the readers to go to the restaurants. I mean, the recipes could be there, but even if you follow all the steps, I don't think you'll be able to recreate something that has been with the family for like more than 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough.
You need Fatty Wang's touch. For sure.
Exactly.
Let's start with one of the restaurants. The oldest Peranakan restaurant in Singapore is Guan Ho Soon Restaurant.
Yes.
It's located in Katong, where you used to live, and it's owned by a family that is not Peranakan. Now, I started with this particular restaurant because I'm hoping we can start the book with an improbable start to enormous success trajectory. So tell me about the founder of this restaurant, who is not Peranakan and had to save for his first stall.
I have to confess, I'm still very much a Katong auntie, so I'm still around the area. But yeah, indeed. So Guan Ho Soon, being probably Singapore's oldest Peranakan restaurant, the founder was Mr. Yap Chi Kui, and he was a teen immigrant from Hainan Island. Believe it or not, he himself was not Peranakan.
Mm.
So as Hainanese, he actually worked as a housekeeper for a Peranakan family when he was 13. And that's where his culinary interests, you know, led him to learn authentic Peranakan cooking from the Nonyas, whom he worked for and lived with. And the rental was very cheap then. So, you know, being a teen immigrant in those times, he was very industrious, very hardworking, and also very determined. So these are traits which I think had brought him to, you know, eventually get his own stall. And then I think the family never looked back. So, yeah.
Mm. Is there another rags to riches story when it comes to family-owned restaurants that have dated back to the 20s that you can share?
Well, I'm not so sure whether, well, obviously all the 10 restaurants feature in my book, I feel, rags to success stories. Because I always think that riches, and this is obviously the best program to talk about money, Money FM. But I think riches and wealth is quite relative. But indeed, all the chapters in my book tells the facts of the families.
Mm.
Basically, they started from rags to what I would like to call success. So objectively, most of them have become very successful. Obviously, that's why they are featured in my book and are still around.
And that's why we love them.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So I think one story that springs to mine is the story of Spring Court, possibly Singapore's oldest Chinese restaurant. And it really originated from a humble pushcart hawker's dream to what is now a sprawling, I'd say, a four-story shop house in the heart of Chinatown.
Wow. Okay, so we're going back in time with your book, right? 50 years ago, when the Nonyas played chicky, there were long tables, parties lasted morning to night. But at the same time, a lot of these restaurants really started from scratch and involved a fair bit of luck as well. So I was wondering, you know, as we take a look back from a business lens, can you share some of the lessons that these family-owned businesses bring to the table about managing a multi-generational business?
Sure. So you already said at the start that I'm a lawyer, I confess. So, and I'm actually a banking and finance lawyer, and I do deal with quite a lot of families in the course of my work, and most of them are what they call ultra high net worth families.
Mm.
But I think regardless of, you know, what level of wealth you are at, there are certain traits and certain principles that are quite common. And I see a lot of these traits in the families that I actually worked with during the course of my work as a lawyer, as well as the families that I interviewed for the purpose of my book. I think part of this is also how each family plans for the next generation. I mean, which is the whole idea of succession planning, whether you're an ultra high or whether you're an average family. So some of these traits would be discipline, hard work, and I think corporatizing succession planning. Yeah, I think discipline and hard work are a bit trite, right? So I don't need to intuitively, these are traits that everybody should have. But I think corporatizing succession planning might be of interest to you and maybe some of your listeners. Mm. Look, if you're lackadaisical, you're lazy, then forget it, probably not be able to succeed anyway. But I think corporatizing succession planning is what makes the difference, all right? Mm. Using an objective set of instruments or tools, I can give you a few examples, like having a family constitution, having some governance, as well as in some cases, even appointing a council of elders for certain decisions to be made amongst the family. I do see certain families that have run empires, you know, of businesses themselves, having such things in recent times. And many of them even have what I call, they use legally binding tools like shareholders agreements, you know, especially when the business gets complicated because of its size.
Yes.
Right? And these are very important instruments that I feel. So for me, the tagline is take the emotions out of the business, because that's how the family stays together. Mm. And these are some of the instruments and tools that they can try to consider using.
As you mentioned, you are a banking lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Banking and finance.
Banking and finance.
Lawyer. So you're very at home here at Money FM.
Well, yeah. Yes, I can.
What is a banking and finance lawyer writing a book about 10 fabulous restaurants?
So again, I have my extracurricular activities as well. And people always ask me, so how do you do this? I say, I just sleep very little.
Ah.
Yeah, yes. But food has always been my hobby. And I'm sure it is for many people as well, especially when you're Singaporean. You know, food really talks to you.
Mm.
And I felt that this was important to me and to Singapore as a whole, because I don't think anybody has actually documented the stories of these families. We see them in documentaries, we read them in magazines and newspaper articles, but the focus has always been on their food and their recipes and, you know, how this is nice and that's not nice. But this is about how the story of their family, how they started, you know, the strife. And
was it easy getting these stories out of these families?
Not as easy as I thought it would be. Mm. So it really, I mean, each time I meet with them, and it's always a few times that I meet with the family, and sometimes they would say a lot more, sometimes they would hold back a little bit. But I think by and large, they were very, very forthcoming with the story.
And could you share with our listeners maybe a couple of restaurants that they have to visit? Because I know it's tough. It's like asking a mother to pick a favorite child. But in terms of value for money, for Money FM listeners,
wow.
Yeah. Among the 10 restaurants, really hard, but
yes.
Go for it.
Well, I would say that if it's for value for money, I mean, it depends on how you benchmark value. Because if you benchmark value just by size or upsize, or, you know, you pay a little bit of money and get a lot more, then, I mean, I wouldn't say that is called value. Value to me is more than that. So I say visit all the 10 restaurants. In fact, there are more than these restaurants in Singapore. They're worth going for. Value is also about heritage. Value is also about, you know, the experience that the families, you know, the toils of the family that is now in a plate of, like, you know, ayam bakaloa or biryani. Mm. See, that to me is value. And besides, you know, it's a healthy lifestyle. We shouldn't eat so much.
No, listen, I think you've given people a food trail here in this book.
Yes.
Visit all 10 of Singapore's oldest family-run restaurants. Yes. Have a great time. So, you know, when you look back now, is there anything else you wish you were able to put in the book? We know that a lot of content creators leave a lot on the floor, you know, the editing floor.
Yeah, well, there were some restaurants that I've actually contacted that were not so, you know, willing to share their stories. Some of them would, you know, would be a bit skeptical. I mean, if I had my way, I would have wanted to maybe put in more restaurants. Yeah, but you never know. This could be for a next book.
Did you have to eat at all? Was that a criteria for you? You had to love it first?
I did put on about 4 kilos since JC, Michelle, but But that was a long time ago. Well, the fact is I've actually eaten in all these restaurants before.
Mm-hmm.
So I already know their dishes. I'm very familiar with, you know, the sort of things that goes into their food. But, well, indeed, I have gone back again, even before, after, and still to these restaurants. So before and after the book, and I'm still going back to these restaurants.
Yeah, that's the hope, isn't it? That we continue to patronize these brands so that they continue to have a future. I've been trailing this whole show by saying, hey, Sammy's Curry got its name from its owner. Muthu's Curry didn't. Why not? Where did Muthu's Curry get its name? Where's Muthu from?
Right. So, well, they started as a coffee shop, a stall in a coffee shop that didn't even have a name itself, right? It was just like, that didn't even have, it wasn't called Muthu's, but there was this customer who always came to their shop and loved their fish head curry. And he would say that, you know, the richness of the curry is like the pearl. I can't really pronounce this very well in the Tamil language, but I'm going to probably try. Muthu Erukku.
Nicely done.
Yes,
which means
describes the fish curry, and basically it says that richness of the pearl, and it's used to describe something nice.
Wonderful. Yeah. Al Kim Kit there with delicious heirloom stories behind Singapore's oldest family-run restaurants. This has been Reed.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.